So in a situation, not as a predicament like this, what should one do? What should each one of us do? This is a question which I've certainly asked myself from time to time. And it's because I've asked myself this question that I'm giving this talk, giving this lecture this evening, and expressing the views that I am expressing. In my view, at this very highly critical juncture of human history, every thinking human being can and should do four things. Four things. So what are these four things? First of all, he should develop himself. Secondly, join a spiritual community. Thirdly, withdraw his support from all anti-spiritual forces, i.e. all groups. And four, exert whatever influence for good he can in any group to which he unavoidably does belong. So I'm going to devote the rest of our time, which I'm afraid isn't very much, to a few brief comments on each of these four points. One should develop oneself. So what does this mean? Self-development means essentially the development of consciousness, or if you like, of the mind. Because it's in this that human development consists. Not in physical development, we seem to have reached the limit, the peak there, but in development of mind and consciousness. The raising of the mind, the raising of the consciousness to a higher, an ever higher level of awareness. This is the only true human development. Not anything material, not anything external, but the raising of the level of consciousness. And we do this mainly, in the case of most people, through what we call meditation. Because meditation is a word that's much bandied about these days, and the meaning isn't always clear. But what do we mean by meditation? We mean by meditation three things, three levels. First of all, what we call concentration, the integration of all our energies, personal and impersonal, conscious and unconscious. Two, the experience of supra-ego states of consciousness, supra-personal states of consciousness. And thirdly, contemplation in the sense of the direct seeing, the direct vision by the uncontaminated, uncluttered mind, by the mind in a state of higher consciousness, the seeing of what is ultimate, the seeing of existence through, as it were, to its ultimate depths, contemplation, insight, vision. So this is what we mean by meditation. Integration of all our energies, raising of the consciousness above the personal, the egoistic level, to higher, wider dimensions, even cosmic dimensions, and then the seeing of reality, the seeing of truth face to face. This is meditation, through which we truly evolve and develop. And of course there are very many different methods, even within the Buddhist tradition, as we know. But what is important is just to find someone who can teach you at least a few of the methods, or at least one of the methods, and then practice regularly, stick at it. And in connection with that, of course, in association with that, to try to simplify one's life as much as possible. This is also one of the ways in which one develops, to get rid of all the unnecessary things, the unnecessary interests, not to waste time, as so many people do waste time, in unnecessary social contacts, in unnecessary activities of various kinds. And of course to try to base one's life, one's living more and more, on ethical principles, especially the principle of right livelihood, maybe taking just a part-time job, giving oneself plenty of time free for meditation, study, creative work, and so on. And also, another very important aspect of one's development, the refinement of one's emotions, through the experience of the fine arts, looking at great paintings, sculptures, listening to music, reading poetry, perhaps even creating oneself, if one is so minded, if one is so inclined, if one feels oneself an inner creative urge. All these are means of personal spiritual development. And then having some, at least general acquaintance with history, world history, history of the human race, cultural history, with science and philosophy, comparative religion, mysticism. These are all means, these are all ways, methods of one's individual development. So this is the first thing that one should do in this present juncture of history, in one or another, or a number of these different ways that I've suggested. One should develop oneself. And one should never forget that this is really the first consideration. If you're not trying to develop yourself, you're not making any contribution at all, really, however externally active you may be, to the ultimate solution of current world problems. Neither, of course, are you doing really anything for yourself. So self-development, development of the individual himself. And secondly, one should join a spiritual community. What does this mean? It doesn't necessarily mean joining any organized body. But it simply means that one should be in contact with, as much as possible, other individuals, true individuals, or people at least who are trying to become true individuals. Have regular contact with them. Try to, as it were, spark oneself off through that contact. Do what you can to spark them off. Mutually spark one another off in this way. And by contact with other individuals, true individuals, one doesn't just mean a comparatively superficial social contact. One means a real communication, a genuine, as it were, spiritual exchange. We know, I'm sure, that it's very difficult to develop spiritually entirely on one's own. The support, at least at the beginning, of a spiritual community, that is, of other individuals similarly interested, is very, very helpful. This is not just like the psychological support of the group. It's not just the sort of warmth that you get by belonging to the herd. Membership of a spiritual community, contact with other evolving individuals, is something much more challenging and much more demanding than that. Because the spiritual community demands, which the group doesn't demand, the group discourages it, the spiritual community demands that you should be an individual. That you should begin at least by being yourself. And then through being yourself, try to become in contact and communication with other emergent individuals, yourself and individual. And of course, the best kind of spiritual community, we can say, is one which contains at least one person more developed, more evolved spiritually than the others. And such a person in the Buddhist tradition we know as a Kalyana Mitra, which means a good friend, a spiritual friend. Or if you like, guru. It's also very, very important within the context of the spiritual community. It's very important that all the members of a particular spiritual community should have the same general outlook upon or attitude towards or approach to the spiritual life. All follow more or less the same spiritual method. Otherwise, it may be difficult for them to help or even to understand one another. They may, if they like, some members of the spiritual community, all live under one roof and form, as it were, a resident spiritual community, but this is not essential. What is essential is the regular contact between members of any spiritual community, between individuals. Real contact. Now, thirdly, one should withdraw support from all anti-spiritual forces. One could say quite a lot on this point, but time is running short, so I'd better be very brief. By anti-spiritual forces, one means all groups, agencies, etc., which do not permit, or which even actively discourage, in one way or another, directly or indirectly, the development of the individual as such. Even oppose it. Quite openly. Such groups may include the family, the political party, trades union, church, state, and so on. So all these groups, they derive their strength from their individual members. So one should weaken, if one possibly can, the group as group by the withdrawal of one's own personal support. Some people, some extremists one may say, would even go so far as to try to withdraw support from the state as a sort of grand ultimate group of all groups altogether. But this is very, very difficult, even though, in a sense, it might be desirable. So withdraw support from all anti-spiritual forces, all groups which oppose the development of the individual, as far as you possibly can. Otherwise, you're pulling in two directions at once. On the one hand, trying to be an individual. On the other, you're supporting the very forces which are preventing you from being an individual. So withdraw support from those forces. Fourthly and lastly, one should exert an influence for good, i.e. in the direction of individuality, in all the groups to which unavoidably one belongs. You can't help having a social circle of people who don't particularly want to be individuals. You may have to go to a place of work. You may have to live at home. All right, if you have to, if it's unavoidable, never mind. But whenever an opportunity arises, speak up and act within the context, even of the group. Even if there's a bit of opposition or lack of understanding, speak up for the ideal of individuality and try and act upon it. Try even an influence to group in the direction, or rather influence potential individuals within the group in the direction of true individuality. Never just allow yourself to go along with the group if one does happen to belong to one at all. Try to represent, even within the context of the group, individual values.